Whenever you're ready.
I am. May it please the court, good afternoon, Your Honors. Robert Siegel here for National Union Fire Insurance Company of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we're here again on another coverage dispute, although not similar to the last argument. And this time it's a dispute between two insurers on the coverage for an underlying lawsuit. And the facts of the underlying lawsuit, I think, are somewhat significant in that what happened was is that steel that Bayou Steel owned, and they decided to move from one of their facilities in Louisiana to another one of their facilities in Illinois. And they hired two contractors. They hired one contractor to take the steel from Louisiana to Illinois, and that was MEMCO, the barge line, under an affreightment contract. And then they hired a separate contractor, Kendra Marine, to take the to offload the steel once it arrived in Illinois. And what I'd like to focus in on, there's a lot that we have in this case that's undisputed. One thing that's undisputed is that since this was a summary judgment that was ruled upon by the district court, that the standard of review is de novo. Another thing that's undisputed is that the policy, the excess Wharfinger policy, issued by New York General and Marine, I think they call themselves New York Magic, that it is listed as underlying coverage in my clients, the National Union of Pennsylvania's policy. So we are an umbrella policy that we list the underlying coverages, including the New York Magic policy.
Let me interrupt you.
Sure.
And I apologize for this, but I want to be sure I have not the relationship between the insurers, but the relationship between the three parties to the occurrence. That is, as Bayou, as owner of the steel, am I correct, it contracted with, not Kendra, the other one.
MEMCO.
Yeah. To barge the steel to Illinois.
That's correct.
In that contract, wasn't Bayou Steel required by the barge company to offload the steel in Illinois?
What I would submit, Your Honor, is that in that contract, what MEMCO said was is that we'll take it to Illinois, but we won't offload it. So if you want to offload it, you'll have to hire somebody else to offload it.
All right. And so is there a question of whether under that contract, Bayou Steel was obligated to, what is the name, the barge company?
To MEMCO.
I'm sorry?
MEMCO, M-E-M-C-O.
Yeah. To offload it, get it off of their barge.
Under that contract, Bayou Steel did agree that it would be responsible for offloading the steel from the barge. That's correct.
So Bayou Steel is, they contract with each other, but they're each, Bayou Steel and MEMCO, are contracting parties.
That's correct, Judge Wiener, but what?
So, well, but I'm going to follow this down.
Sure.
MEMCO was the contracted, was Bayou Steel's contractor for the haul.
That's correct.
And Bayou Steel was its contractor for the offloading.
See, I wouldn't agree with that. What I think is that, what I would submit to Your Honor is that Bayou Steel hired MEMCO to move the steel from Louisiana to Illinois. But in any contract, Judge Wiener, there are obligations of an owner and there are obligations of a contractor. For example, in this contract, Bayou Steel obligated itself to pay MEMCO for moving the steel from point A to point B. And to follow what I think is your train of thought, is if Bayou Steel didn't fund it themselves, but went to a bank to fund that payment, would that make the loan officer a subcontractor of Bayou Steel?
Well, these are friendly questions. I don't know what okay. you think is in my mind.
I'm really trying to.
My point is that Bayou Steel directly contracted with Kendra to take the steel off the barge.
That's correct.
That Bayou owned.
That's correct.
All right. How can someone be a contractor and a subcontractor at the same time?
That's exactly my point, Judge Wiener, is that I don't think they can be. And I think we also have to look at the exact wording of the exclusion that appears in the New York Magic policy by adopting the underlying, the primary Warfinger policy. It excludes, it provides coverage for personal injury, and then it excludes coverage for employees of the insured and employees of subcontractors of the insured. It doesn't say employees of any subcontractor. It doesn't say employees of contractors or subcontractors of the insured. It says for employees of subcontractors of the insured, and by that very definition, I would submit to the court that what that contemplates and means is that when Bayou Steel is the contractor, not the owner, as they are in this case, but when Bayou Steel is the contractor and hires a subcontractor, then that exclusion might apply. And let me give an example of where I think that might apply. Let's assume that General Motors wanted Bayou Steel to turn some raw material into steel for them that General Motors would use to build cars. And if there was a contract between Bayou Steel and General Motors for Bayou Steel to turn the raw product into steel, that contract required General Motors to deliver the steel to Louisiana, let's say, to Bayou Steel's facility, deliver the raw materials. But Bayou Steel's obligation as a contractor was to offload. Bayou Steel may not have its own stevedores. So they then subcontract with a stevedoring company to come in and offload the steel. That would be the situation where Bayou Steel is itself a contractor, obligated to General Motors to take the steel, take the raw material and turn it into steel, and then they in turn subcontracted part of their contract to a subcontractor. That is what I think the exclusion would apply to. That's not what we have here.
Well, if Kendra is a subcontractor to anyone, it's to MIMCO, isn't it?
Well, I don't think that's correct, Judge Wiener, because
I said if it is a subcontractor to anyone, it would require considering that Bayou Steel contracted to offload, get it off of their barge, and in turn subcontracted. But they can't be a subcontractor and a contractor.
I agree they can't be a subcontractor a contractor and a subcontractor. I don't think they would be a subcontractor to MEMCO if MEMCO was the one who had in turn hired and subcontracted to Kendra Marine.
I don't either, but that isn't what happened.
Right.
But their argument, Judge Wiener, I think, is trying to take their argument. They're saying, MEMCO's saying, we had a contract with Bayou Steel to take the steel off. Bayou Steel hired Kendra, therefore Kendra is a subcontractor, which would necessarily mean that MEMCO is the owner, Bayou Steel's a contractor. Kendra is MEMCO's subcontractor.
Judge Owen, that's right, and that's exactly my argument. My argument here is that Bayou Steel is the owner. In terms of contracting, Bayou Steel is the owner in both of its contracts. One contract with MEMCO to barge and deliver the steel to Illinois, and then in a separate contract with Kendra Marine to take it off. And I think if we look at the, Judge Feldman in his underlying opinion, he really quoted from the different briefs where we all submitted the definitions of subcontractor to the court. And even if we look at the Fifth Circuit opinions in the Avondale Shipyards case and in the Texaco Amclyde case, they all talk about the relationships. And also there's Louisiana statutes that have been cited to the court. They all talk about the relationship and the relation, and they all talk about how a subcontractor is somebody who has a relationship with a contractor to take part of that contract and do that work. So a subcontractor's relationship is either with a contractor or with a different subcontractor. A subcontractor's relationship is not with the owner. The owner's relationship is with contractors. And so what that means is that what we have two separate contracts that Bayou Steel entered into, one with MEMCO to deliver the steel and one with Kendra Marine to take the steel off. And I might also submit to the court that let's step back and talk about standard Louisiana law and precepts and rules governing construction of policies. And though I am an insurer lawyer and don't usually make this argument, I usually have to defend this argument. It is true that under Louisiana law, that any doubts about coverage, particularly when interpreting an exclusion, have to be decided in favor of coverage. So if we look at the New York Magic policy, if there's any doubt as to whether they meant excluding coverage for injuries to employees of contractors and subcontractors, when they only said employees of the assured's subcontractors, then that has to be resolved in, if there is a doubt, that has to be resolved in favor of coverage. I would submit that there really is no doubt because Bayou Steel, the assured, had no subcontractors in this arrangement.
Is this a common provision in policies?
I have to tell you that I'm not, that I do a lot of coverage work, Judge Owen. I have not seen a provision like this. I have not had much experience with wharfing reliability policies. But I can say this, that we do see many times in policies where they're trying to define who is an insured under a policy. And they sometimes use the word the insured. They sometimes use the word an insured. They sometimes use the word any insured. And those different terms, if you will, have distinct and separate meanings. If it says any insured, well, then it's all and ever. If it says the insured, that means the named insured. And to analogize to this situation here, Judge Owen, what I would say is when they say employees of the assured's subcontractors, that has a very specific meaning. If they had wanted to...
My only question was, is this in a lot of policies, should we be able to find decisions in other jurisdictions or a treatise or a collection of annotated cases or anything like that about this policy?
Your question is much easier than my answer. I apologize. But we had not found any cases that are directly on point.
I was just thinking, have we missed something?
Right. No, I didn't find it. Apparently opposing counsel didn't find it either. The case really turns on what is the meaning of the term the assured subcontractors is used in the policy under the general principles of contract interpretation and insurance.
Is contractor defined anywhere in this policy?
It's not, and nor is subcontractor.
Is it mentioned anywhere?
I don't believe the term contractor is mentioned anywhere in the policy. But I have to confess I really haven't looked to study that.
Are contractors included in some way so that they would draw a distinction between contractors are covered but not subcontractors or employees of subcontractors?
I don't think there's any provision in the policy that says that, but I think by definition, since they talk about employees of the assured and employees of subcontractors of the insured, they are not including employees of contractors of the assured.
Listen, I just wanted to focus on Judge Feldman's opinion for a minute, and I'm just going to read about three sentences here. It's on page 19 of his opinion, but you don't need to take time to look at it. But let me first just read you the first sentence and see if you agree with it. He says, "It is undisputed that because of Bayou Steel's duty to undertake the unloading of the steel, Bayou Steel contracted with Kendra Marine to unload MIMCO's barge." Is that an accurate? He says that's undisputed. Is that a fair statement?
That's true.
All right.
Yes.
Then he makes the following two sentences, which aren't too long, and I'll just read them. The plaintiff suggests that Kendra Marine, by assuming the unloading obligation of Bayou Steel pursuant to the freight contract, was a subcontractor. Applying the generally prevailing meaning of the term subcontractor in the context of the exclusionary phrase, the court agrees. Tell me, in your view, what's wrong with that analysis?
What's wrong with that analysis is that even though Bayou Steel hired Kendra Marine to take the steel off of the ship, that doesn't make Kendra Marine a subcontractor of Bayou Steel. That makes them a contractor of Bayou Steel, and the exclusion is written in terms of excludes coverage for injuries to subcontractors of the assured, not contractors of the assured. So I think the conclusion that Judge Feldman reaches from all of that is the incorrect conclusion.
Well, I mean, because he seems to draw the conclusion from the fact that it was Bayou's obligation to unload, right? And, I mean, we agree on that.
Yeah, and the way I would answer that, Judge Smith, is that just because somebody, an owner in a contract, assumes an obligation under that contract, that doesn't make them a contractor for which they can then have a subcontractor.
Well, isn't there an even better answer that even if he was, then Kendra is not his subcontractor, he's the MEMCO subcontractor?
Except Kendra was, I agree with you, but he wasn't hired by, I don't want to make my opponent's argument, but Kendra was not hired by MEMCO. Kendra was hired by Bayou.
Subcontractors are never hired by the principal. They're hired by a contractor. If that were right, Bayou Steel would be the contractor of MEMCO.
That's right, Judge Wiener.
So when it hires somebody to do what it needs to do, that is a subcontractor, true, but of MEMCO, not of Bayou.
And the way you explain it, I agree with your position.
All right. You've saved time for about a minute.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sutterfield?
Good afternoon, Your Honors. And let me just say, Judge Smith, I appreciate your remarks. Although I live here, I'm a native Texan, and when I told my wife this morning that she should remember what happened 175 years ago in Texas, she looked at me pretty goofily since she's from North Carolina. But I appreciate those remarks. Ironically, I took one thing that I marked through in counsel in the record excerpts, and it's exactly the part that you went to on page 19. And this was when I was preparing for this, and I think that's the important thing in this case, Judge Feldman's conclusion.
Well, that's exactly why we're here.
Exactly, yeah. The unloading gives us, this contract was not a long contract, and it was not for one time, as counsel suggested. They decided they had some steel they wanted to move from here. This was an annual contract. This started on January 1 of 1 year, went to December 31 of that year, another contract the next year, another contract the next year. There were some 14 different barges involved. All that's in the record. There were some were different size than the other. And it was an ongoing thing. And here was the arrangement. MEMCO would deliver a dumb barge, an empty barge, to Bayou Steel here in Louisiana. Bayou Steel would then load it. In that case, if something had happened there, we wouldn't be arguing about this today. That was definitely their agreement to load the barge. So that would be loaded, and then MEMCO would take the barge to wherever. It could be Calumet River, which is where they went in this case, or it could be any one of, I think, three or four other places they designated in the contract. And when they got there, though, they were very specific. They had a certain lay time, and then it became the obligation, and the words were very spelled out. It shall be the obligation of the shippers, Bayou Steel, of the shipper, Bayou Steel, or its consignee. Now, they kept using the word owner. There's nothing about owner here. The term in this contract is shipper. Doesn't make any difference who owned that steel. They were the shipper, and that's a term that's used in maritime law.
I'm having conceptually difficulty with this. Let's suppose I'm a chemical plant, and the railroad hauls sulfur to me every day of the week, basically, and I have an agreement with the railroad. You'll haul it to a certain point, but I'll come unload it off your cars and take it to my plant. So for 100 days in a row, I send my employees out there to get that sulfur. Is the railroad company, is it the owner or the shipper? Am I a contractor for that railroad when I send my employees out to get the sulfur off the railroad line?
If it is your obligation under the terms of the freight agreement to offload it, yes.
I'm hiring the railroad.
You hire someone else.
No, I don't hire anybody else. I have a contract with the railroad to haul my sulfur to a certain point, and I say, I'll come get it. You have no responsibility to load it onto your railroad cars or unload it. I'll load it. I'll unload it. Am I a contractor? Is there a contract relationship between me and the railroad?
That's not the contract we had here, but I suppose.
I'm asking you hypothetically.
I suppose if there was hypothetically just a contract that said you push your barge from here to there and leave it.
No, you ship. You railroad will haul my sulfur for me from point A to point B, and I'll unload it at point B, and I send my own employees out there. Am I a contractor of the railroad?
Are you a contractor of the railroad?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't follow. Can I give you a very easy example?
Sure.
Let's say you and I decided we wanted to go to the beach, Judge, and so we said, okay, Judge, you take your car and you drive, and I will fill your car with gas, and when we get back, I will clean all the salt and sand. I'll make sure that all your salt and sand is cleaned off of your car so it won't harm it. You say, okay, so we set off, and we go down there, and we come back. When we get back, if I can do one thing, I can personally have my own employee go clean your car. And if I do that, then that's that person, and that person, let's say, gets hurt cleaning the car. That person is my employee. So under this policy, it wouldn't be clean. So I can say, well, maybe I can get around that provision, and I'll call Acme Car Wash and have Acme send somebody out to wash the car. So they send someone out there to wash the car. Now, I am discharging my duty to you. We have agreed that I will clean your car, and I'm discharging my duty to you. But I have hired someone else, a third party, in this case Acme, to send their employee out to do it. So I'm discharging my obligation to you, and it's just as much of an obligation to you as it is your obligation
was to drive. But under your example, that I don't see any difference between the way you're arguing your example and my question. If I hire a railroad to hire my sulfur and I send my employees out to get my sulfur off that railroad line, am I the railroad's contractor?
I don't know.
Okay, in your example, are you my contractor? I drive
yes.
the car. Okay, so I...
No.
Tell me
what I am is this. I have hired, and under the classic... All the classic definitions that Judge Feldman pointed out from my old Black's Dictionary when I was in law school, which is the fourth edition, to, I guess, Rob's, which is the eighth edition, and all the rest in between, you know, they all say the same thing, that a subcontract is when you hire someone else to perform your obligation under a contract.
Your obligation to another.
Yes, exactly, Judge. And what we did was we hired Kendra to come discharge, to take the cargo off, because we were obligated under our contract with MEMCO to empty their barge.
Right, so that makes Kendra a subcontractor to MEMCO and a direct contractor with you.
Not under all the definitions that were given in the things, because we have hired.
And I go back to the Civil Code long before you. When you put these in the context and you make the correct analogy to private work or something like that, this is not a construction situation. But I don't know how someone A can contract with B and have B his subcontractor.
Well, Under those definitions, they say that a subcontract is when you hire someone else to do your work.
Okay, well, that's my example.
That you've obligated yourself to do.
Let's keep going with my example. I'm the owner. I own a fertilizer plant. I've hired a railroad company to haul my sulfur. And the railroad company says, look, I don't want to go beyond your spur full of sulfur. You've got to get it off of there so I can use my cars for other stuff. That's just part of the deal. It's an FOB or whatever.
Okay.
The shipping contract. I go down there 100 days in a row and unload it. The 101st day, I hire some company to go down there and unload it. Now, does the fact that I hired a company to unload for me change anything?
You put someone in your place, so they become a subcontractor.
Well, when I send my employees, are they the railroads? Are they employees of a contractor of the railroad?
Yes, they're employed because you contracted.
Okay, so I, as the owner of the fertilizer plant, am a contractor vis-a-vis the railroad when I unload, as opposed to the railroad unloading.
Yes. And then when you hire someone else
to do your
job. Can you
find a case in the country that supports that?
When you hire someone else to do your job, to complete the sentence, they are your contractor, they are your contractor's subcontractor.
Well, Judge, if I'll take that because Kendra did not actually employ this gentleman. This gentleman was actually employed by the company that Kendra went to, and that's all spelled out in our brief. And if that's not what Judge Feldman found, that's completely different. But if that's true, then we went on that too because Mr. Campbell was an employee of an IBC.
That was never pleaded, was it?
Yes, it was pleaded. It's not only pleaded, it was pleaded originally in the down below, and it was pleaded in our brief. It's in our brief.
So it was a turnkey contract? In other words, the employees were hired on a case-by-case basis? I mean, most of your brief says they were employees of Kendra.
Yes.
As of a certain date, all of your employees were designated by this document to be employees of a company.
No, they were hired by, they were paid by another company, IBC, IBA or something. And
well, that doesn't change it because that's just an employment furnishing company.
Well, they were contracted, they contracted, Kendra contracted with this other company to provide employees to do the work.
Well, Feldman never mentions that.
He didn't have to, Judge, because what he ruled was that Kendra was performing the work that Bayou, the shipper, had obligated itself to perform in favor of MEMCO, which was empty its barge.
Yeah. Classic subcontractor situation.
What are the facts in the record about the relationship between the employment company and Bayou Steel? I'm sorry, Kendra. What
between Kendra and the employment company?
Yes. What are the facts about? Give us all the facts there are about that relationship.
Okay. Well, the facts were essentially contained in the stipulation. We stipulated everything, and in the stipulation was the pleadings that were filed on behalf of the insurer in the lower court in the state court in Illinois that had provided the workers' compensation for Mr. Campbell, and that had to pay all the medical bills for Mr. Campbell when his leg was amputated, and they set forth the contract there that they had with Kendra, whereby they provided labor to Kendra. And
wasn't Kendra the statutory employer?
Certainly in Louisiana it would be. This was Illinois. I don't know if they recognize that concept, but certainly in Louisiana it definitely
be. Vis-a-vis Bayou Steel, Kendra is the one who provided that longshoreman.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We hired Kendra to perform our duties under the MEMCO Bayou Steel contract to discharge our obligations. We hired them to come do that for us, just like I said, if I hire Acme Car Washing Company to wash the car, we hired them, and then they in turn, so there was definitely, it was they had all the control. It would definitely, under Louisiana law, be a quote employee, regardless of who paid him. But in turn, they had secured him from another company because that's where they got all their people to come work for them, just like all the oil companies do around here. I don't see this as that difficult a case, Judge. Maybe it is. Maybe I just look at it wrong.
Neither do I.
but this is the second time it's been here, and there's another argument that wasn't even made in the summary judgment. So if this goes back, we might be up here again because there was another thing that haven't even gotten into on the partial summary judgments. But
well, that's good for our job
security. It's good for all of us, I guess, if I outlive it. But anyway, a couple of notes I made here. Counsel had stated, I think I've already made this one, but counsel had stated that if you want to unload it, and I don't know if he really meant that, but it wasn't an idea of just take the vessel up there and if we want to, we'll unload it. It had to be unloaded. Because these were nominated barges, they were on a strict turnaround, and it had to be unloaded. And if we couldn't just leave it sit there to stockpile the material in, there are those kind of
agreements. So you're basically
agreements.
Saying this is a mutual contractor situation. MEMCO is Bayou Steel's contractor for the purpose of shipping, but
yes.
Bayou Steel is MEMCO's contractor for the purposes of loading and unloading.
Not the loading, because that has nothing to.
Well, that was. It's on the other end. It just so happened that on one end, Bayou does the loading, on the other end does the unloading.
Right.
So they have an obligation to load and unload, apparently.
Well, Bayou had an obligation to empty MEMCO's barge.
But they also had an obligation to load.
They didn't have to. Well, they were the ones that were going to load it, and they had to load it in a particular way, and MEMCO watched them.
They have an obligation to MEMCO to load and load in a particular way. So your argument is they're a contractor to MEMCO for loading and unloading, and MEMCO's their contractor for shipping purposes.
Well, I'm not really arguing that they're a contractor to MEMCO for loading it, because the actual contract does not require that the vessel ever be loaded in the first place. If it is loaded,
well, how can they ship it if it's not loaded?
Well, then they wouldn't ship it. But what I'm saying is, that's silent.
They wouldn't get paid.
You're right, Judge. And that's silent in the contract. But if they do start to load it, then they're obligated to load it to certain specifications and certain balancing of the weights, et cetera. It's all set forth in the contract. But once they get there, they're absolutely obligated, as Judge Feldman read.
My only point is, you're saying for some purposes, one's the contractor.
Oh, I agree, yes.
And other purposes, the other one's the contractor. That's your argument.
Exactly. It is a bilateral contract. I've got some obligations.
And if you find any cases in the country that reflect this denomination when parties are so situated?
I've found that this provision or similar ones are in a number of wharfinger's coverage policies. They're added coverage because generally a wharfinger's policy does not cover bodily injury. We represented the same client in the supposed barge case that might find its way up here one day. That was a wharfinger's policy, the one that supposedly knocked down that recently Judge Duvall.
It ended up on top of the house.
Ended up on top of the houses. Yeah, that's a wharfinger's policy. This policy, we did not write this wharfinger's policy. In fact, ironically, another sister company of Mr. Siegel's client wrote this policy. Another national union unit wrote the policy. We provided the excess coverage over that.
I'm just asking about case law that's similar, that says under these circumstances, that's what we call the relationship.
I've never been able to find any case where this was disputed, Judge. This is the first case I've ever found.
So there are no cases, is what you're saying.
I'm saying that I could not find any recorded case where this is put at issue, either in AMC or in any of the search engines that we use.
There is no case that I'm aware of, and I'd be happy for you to send it to me under 28J, under Louisiana law, that provides that a party to a bilateral contract who hires a third party to discharge his side of the bilateral makes that person his own subcontractor rather than his own contractor.
Okay, I'll see.
Let me ask you the same question. Is this a common policy provision?
Yes.
So is there a treatise or something or a collection of cases or annotations that tell us what this means? Other courts surely have construed it before.
I don't think they've ever construed it, Judge. No reported cases. I've looked in AMC, which has a lot of unreported cases. I couldn't find it. I've done some research. I've had two lawyers in my office do all kinds of research. I don't know that it's ever been reported as a matter of litigation. It seems pretty straightforward to me, and I guess nobody's ever argued before over the meaning of the term subcontractor. I didn't think it was a big thing either till we got back downstairs. That wasn't the original issue.
It's true, isn't it, that this case turns on whether this was a contractor of BioSteel or a subcontractor of BioSteel?
Under the definitions that Judge Feldman used and found from the cases that he had and from the treatises he had, this fits within that definition of subcontract, I believe.
Well, that's not what I asked you. I'm talking about the outcome of this case. There is an exclusion for BioSteel's subcontractors. There's no exclusion for BioSteel's contractors.
Okay. This could turn on that, Judge, or if you find that Judge that Kendra was a contractor of Bayou Steel, because this man was employed by one of Kendra's contractors, by its labor contractor, then under that definition of subcontractor, then he is an employee of a subcontractor of Bayou Steel. That's our alternate argument.
You mean if he, in fact, didn't work for Kendra?
Well, he was being directed in his work. So I think under the broad definition of what makes an employee-type relationship...
He's an employee of Kendra.
He would be, but he is also an employee of the subcontractor. He doesn't... This court has ruled a number of times that you can be both a payroll employee and...
Sure.
And a borrowed employee. And so he can be an employee of both.
This is the first time, with my familiarity with this case, that anyone has claimed that we're talking about a contractor to Kendra. Everything I've seen is we're talking about Kendra and whether Kendra's a contractor or subcontractor of Bayou.
Your Honor, in my brief, a page. That's our second argument. And
do you have law that says that?
It's on page 11. Even if their characterization of freight contracts is correct, the argument still fails and goes on to say why. Because he was employed by IBC.
All right. So it's your position on this alternatively that even if we disagree with Judge Feldman on Kendra being a subcontractor, that we can affirm on another basis,
yes.
And that is because the injured longshoreman was not an employee of Kendra, but was an employee of IBC.
Right. I made that argument in the court below, and the judge didn't have to go that far.
But you admit he's a borrowed employee. He's a borrowed employee?
Yes.
Is there a law that says a borrowed employee is also a subcontractor?
It says employees of subcontractors is what it says. He is an employee of IBC, if they are a subcontractor, then he's an employee of the subcontractor.
Okay, was this part of the stipulation?
Yes. And in fact, Judge, in the supplement, in our record excerpts, we included all those contracts in there. They weren't in the original one, but they are in the second one. And they're all in the record, too.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Sutterfield.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Siegel, you saved time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Let me just get back to what Judge Feldman did here, because obviously it's his opinion and judgment here that you disagree with. He went through all those definitions of subcontractor, and then he summarized it in one sentence. I'm just going to ask you to comment on that. He says, in plain and real terms, a subcontractor is simply some person hired to do part of another person's work. Is that accurate, or what do you say about that?
I don't think that's accurate. And the reason is, if you go back and look at all of the definitions that Judge Feldman went through, they all talk in terms of that a subcontractor is somebody hired by a contractor or another subcontractor to do the work. Then Judge Feldman takes the leap by paraphrasing with the sentence that you just read, and I think there's a non sequitur there.
Can there ever be a subcontractor without there being three parties, at least three parties?
And I would say no. I'd say, and what I'll refer you to, Judge Wiener, is in Louisiana Revised Statutes, Title 9, Section 4807, it defines what a contractor is and defines what a subcontractor is. It says a contractor is one who contracts with an owner to perform all or part of a work. And then it defines a subcontractor is one who by contract made directly with a contractor or a series of contracts, meaning through another subcontractor, is bound to perform some of that work. So a subcontractor can, by definition and by Louisiana law, can only be a subcontractor of the contractor. And Judge Owen, getting back...
And the contractor for the owner.
I'm sorry, Judge...
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Would you address this business about IBC or whatever it was?
I will. And I think in Jim's defense, he did raise it in his summary judgment, and he did raise it in his appeal, and Judge Feldman relegated that to a footnote where he just repeated what his argument was. Judge Feldman never ruled on that argument. But my answer to that question is twofold. First of all, I will suggest that we look at the factual stipulation that I think, and I'm just going to take one page out of the factual stipulation and it's USCA Fifth Circuit. It's page 155 of the Fifth Circuit record. And in particular, on factual stipulations 7 and 8, 7 says, at the time of the casualty, Campbell, the underlying injured person, was working for Kindra Marine. That then says Campbell may have been a, quote, payroll employee of another company, IBC, but he had been supplied to or rented to Kindra Marine. At the time of the casualty, Campbell was working under the supervision of Kindra Marine. So for purposes of this case and this accident, Campbell was a Kindra employee, and I think we both make that argument in our respective briefs. My second answer to that question is, even if counsel's argument is correct, that would make IBC a subcontractor of Kindra Marine, not a subcontractor of Bayou Steel. I would submit to the court, Bayou Steel can have no subcontractors in this case because they are not a contractor. They are the owner. Only a contractor can have a subcontractor. Bayou Steel is not a contractor. And Judge Owen, I'd like to get to your hypothetical, if I might, where you talked about the railroad and the fertilizer company. I don't think you can have a bilateral contractor, particularly when in this situation, or your example, where the fertilizer company hires the railroad to bring material back and forth and pays the railroad for doing that. In that situation, the fertilizer company is the owner or in the same relationship as owner under the contract, and the railroad is the contractor. So I don't think that you can, for purposes of one function, be an owner, purposes of another function, be a contractor. That's just not the way it works. There is one company that is the owner in a contract. In this situation, it's Bayou Steel, because they're hiring MEMCO and they're paying MEMCO for that service. Contracts do have obligations of an owner and obligations of a contractor, but just because the owner agrees to certain obligations under a contract, for example, to pay the contractor, that doesn't make the owner a contractor for those obligations. The owner remains the owner.
If we were to agree with you about contractor, subcontractor, is there anything left in this case then that we would remand or would we render?
I don't think so. I think you would render summary judgment, and you would vacate the summary judgment entered by Judge Feldman and grant summary judgment in my favor because of the exclusion only applies, getting back to your question to counsel, Judge Wiener, if you determine that this is an employee of a contractor, then the exclusion just doesn't apply. And I see I'm out of time.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Siegel. Your case and all of today's cases are under submission, and the court is in recess under the